Show.
Oh, you actually see your coin.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a sports show on 2SER that has been likened to Sky News, not only because we are both broadcast, but also because none of us have a clue what we're talking about. As I said last week, Joel Kasem is my name, and this week, as always, I've got my little friends here too. Back from being concussed by a surfboard, she thinks her name is Gabby Morris.
Hey, Mick.
Oh, wow. Great.
This is just me the whole time.
How you feeling, Gab?
Heaps better.
Good. Heaps.
Yeah, a lot better. Walking a straight line. Can talk to my boss. Fine. Still leaving work early, though. No, I'm heaps better.
Good. Yep. Okay, we'll get to you very soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, here is a man who wasn't concussed last week, although you'd be forgiven if you thought otherwise. It's Big Rad.
Oh, thanks, Gabby. It's really nice. I just broke a joke.
Yeah. So that's good. You okay. Always do.
Yeah, good. Hey.
Hey.
It's nice to have other people in the studio.
It is.
It was very lonely with it by ourselves last week.
We were, yeah, it was really difficult without you, Gab. Really difficult.
I mean, I was there with you.
On the phone.
Yeah.
Just, we forgot to bring you back up.
Yeah.
That's all. Classic.
Hey, guys. Joining us after Gabby's little accident. For the very first time, we welcome a neuroscientist to the program. It's Dr. Sarah Helliwell. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Thanks for coming on. Okay, so Gabby had the accident last week. What are we going to do? We're going to get a doctor on.
Yeah.
Just to hold your hand, make sure you don't fall over.
Just get Sarah just to be with me now forever, just by my side.
I'll give you a lobotomy. Good price.
Mates rates on a lobotomy. Awesome.
What does a lobotomy actually do?
Well, it takes out bits of your brain. So they do it for, they probably don't do it very often anymore, but they used to do it for personality disorders and for epilepsy and things like that.
And
so
gay people.
And gay people, because why
we
not?
We could try and see what happens.
I mean, we'll have a crack. I'm not, you know, I've got a rusty instrument in the car. We can sharpen the coat hanger. We'll be fine. It'll be good.
And it was a thing that worked. Like, it was something that...
Like, I mean, a lot of them did die, but I mean... Like, did that work? And they didn't have epilepsy and they weren't gay anymore. So, like,
yeah, exactly.
Kind of
work. You know? What? Oh, win. Yeah. 100% success rate.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Neuroscientist. I feel very, very...
Dumb.
Yes, dumb. That's dumb, the word. Yeah. How many years do you have to study to be a neuroscientist?
Oh, it depends, really. You have to do an undergraduate degree and then you have to do honours or masters and then a PhD, usually. Mm. So...
A couple of weeks?
Yeah. So, you know, buy your degree online and, you know, it's really one click of a button. It's probably a good, I would say, 7+ years after finishing high school. Yeah.
That's a commitment.
That is a commitment. But good on you because you're going to help us a lot with this show.
I can try.
Okay, what field are you currently working in? What are you doing right now?
So my main area of research is concussion. I work a lot on sports concussion. But concussion also, the other word for concussion is mild traumatic brain injury. So I work on brain injuries from a whole range of things like light kind of brain injuries that happen during sports through to really severe things that happen in car accidents and war zones and things like that.
Oh. Yeah, wow. The war zones. I mean, that's full on, right?
Yeah, those ones are really crazy injuries because they're often roadside bombs. So people are often in vehicles and they drive over a bomb and then the bomb blast comes up like a wave and it travels through your body rather than like hitting on your body like you would if you hit your head.
Whoa.
And that like travels through your bloodstream and affects your brain in kind of crazy ways.
So it's not necessarily an impact.
No.
It's the wave of energy
that's exactly right.
Moving your brain.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And sometimes it can be an impact as well. So if you're in a car or a tank or something like that, or standing next to a building and you get blasted, then you might like fall back and hit your head or be injured with shrapnel and things like that. So they're really complicated injuries, but really interesting from a neurological perspective.
So if someone as gnarly as me, like in a pretty serious like lineup, and a surfboard comes and cracks you on the head, what actually happens to your brain?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So what happens is what we call generally a contra coup injury, which means the brain bounces off one side of the brain and then bounces back again, because the brain's held in the skull, so there's only so many places it can go. It's like a big squishy ball of jelly. So it bounces off one side and comes back and hits the front again. So if you were hit on the side, it sort of would have bounced off the other side. And so you'd probably have... those are like points of contact where it's hit. It's cushioned a little bit by the cerebrospinal fluid, but it you would have potentially more damage in those areas. But it also transmits the damage throughout the white matter, which is like the bits that connect the cells throughout the brain.
Every time there's a high impact on the head, if the brain hits the wall, like, is that like it's like the skull? Is that what like hits the edge?
Yeah.
So that every time it hits the wall, that's like considered a like brain damage or a concussion?
Yeah, it can be. But you don't even need to have an impact. So a lot of sports injuries, especially in things like AFL, what we call like rotational acceleration injuries, where like if you think about tackling, and rugby is the same, if you tackle someone, chuck them on the ground, their head and their neck is kind of going to twist at a certain angle, and that twisting motion spins the brain around really fast, and that stretches the connections throughout the brain.
Head.
I'm just thinking of like a bubble head where you spin it around.
It's exactly like that. Yeah, exactly like that. And so then sometimes maybe you hit your head as well, but sometimes you don't. And
yeah, right.
Yeah, so you may have what we can call a diagnosable concussion or you may not. So the symptoms, there's no real set definition for this is a concussion and this is not a concussion. It's pretty vague. It depends like what you're doing, what kind of context you're in. So like the military have their own guidelines. Hospitals often have their own guidelines. Sports have their own guidelines. So whether or not you are actually technically concussed is pretty contentious. But then also, what about the people who don't quite make it as a diagnosed concussion but have still had a whack on the head? And often in sports, they're having repeated knocks on the head as well.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Now, NRL's brought in the HIA, which is like a head injury assessment, which they do like for 10 minutes on the sideline or in the dressing room. And I always think, oh, it's a bit, you know, how can anyone decide, know in 10 minutes whether or not someone's had a concussion? I guess there's certain tests they can do. But
yeah, so they ask questions, right?
Yeah.
They have a list of questions that they ask them at the start of the season, I think.
Yeah.
And then they just re-ask those questions, and if you can't answer them...
That's exactly right, yeah. But what happens, especially like as you get higher and higher in professional sports, is that you see those questions all the time.
Yeah.
And you... we have a tendency to really downplay head injuries, especially if you're not like really spewing on the sidelines and you're not super sick.
Yeah.
Then if you're sort of, you don't feel quite right, but you still want to keep playing because you don't want to let your teammates down and things like that, you've seen the questions before. You know what the answers are. You've memorized them. Mm. So you can be, you know, blood coming out your ears and, you know, half dead and still be able to chuck out the right responses.
Get on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. So it can be really hard. And there's a lot of pressure, especially at those high levels, for the doctors as well to make those decisions. And it's obvious when someone's like very, very concussed and things are not right with that person.
Yeah.
But there's a tendency for the player to downplay it and for the doctors, for the borderline people to be pressured into letting the player back on as well.
Yeah.
Why do you spew?
Oh, all kinds of reasons.
Well, on the weekend I
I mean, you know, maybe you've had a bad dim sim or something. Yeah. Like, who knows? You spew, there's all kinds of like biochemical things that are going on. Sometimes it's just the pressure of the injury. Sometimes you have nausea. So if you have, like you were saying, you have been a bit nauseous, sometimes you damage like the parts of your ear that are responsible for balance, and then you're off balance and feeling a bit gross and spewy. So
yeah. Do you reckon you can get a concussion from heading a soccer ball?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally.
Because it's pretty topical because the Football World Cup's on. And that's the whole point of the game is to hit the ball. But they always teach you use your frontal forward.
Yeah, kick, use the really... most important part. That's the way.
But isn't that part like the strongest as well?
I mean, it kind of is.
Oh, but still, you still get the impact, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the kind of thing where this new sort of research area has sprung up that is getting a lot of attention, what we call subconcussive injuries. Mm. So you could head the ball in practice like maybe 40, 50 times because someone's just chucking a ball at you constantly. You're like, all right, cool, go for it. But if you do that like twice a week and you're doing it in the games and you're playing for years, then you've had all these like really minor hits to the head, which might have complications that don't come out for years. So you could be like retired from your sport, or like, you know, if you're playing casually, maybe stop, and then like a couple of years later you're like, I don't feel right, but I have all these non-specific symptoms. So it's actually really hard to correlate what we see symptomatically with what's going on in the past, what's actually potentially caused it.
Yeah, you don't hear many soccer head injuries, but I guess it might be more subtle. It just sort of builds up over time.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Have they ever done like a study on like sports people's personalities in each code, like because of the concussions?
Yeah, that would be interesting, right?
Like, not to say that NRLs are buffheads, but
no, but it's true.
That could explain their awful behaviour.
Yeah, it totally can, and that's what seems to be in the American football, the NFL. Mm. So they often have like pretty quickly after they retire, and often they retire because like they're just, you know, they're too old, or they've had a knee injury or something like that. It's not always the concussion that's the end of their career. But like pretty soon they're bankrupt. They're, you know, knocking up a prosy in Vegas. They're you know, they've divorced their wife. They're in a car accidents all the time.
Yeah.
They're in and out of rehab, and that is like actually a pretty common theme, and we see it occasionally in, you know, other sports as well. But it's also difficult to say that it's entirely because of head injuries, because it's also the kind of personalities, like you said, the buffheads are really rugby, but you know, the AFL players, they're the real gentleman guys. No, but it's the kind, you know, it's the kind of people who are really going to put their body on the line and take risks that are attracted and good at those sports exactly for those attributes.
That's really interesting.
So personality wise there's also different personalities are attracted to different sports like that.
And you're also doing studies. So you're doing studies on men in AFL and NRL, but you're also doing women in AFL. What's the gender difference?
Yeah, we thought until pretty recently that there wasn't any difference. So pretty much every experimental study and every clinical study is done in males, because we think, you know, pesky menstrual cycles are going to stuff things up potentially. when you have hormonal fluctuations, that can influence things like the immune system, and that can influence the response to injury. So we just assumed, oh, men are basically the same as women, so we'll just only look at men. But actually, now that we're seeing there's more and more women getting into contact sports, there's actually some really interesting data coming out. So women are more likely to have a head injury. They have thinner skulls, so they're more likely to have to sustain more serious kinds of head injuries. Women have different, the white matter is made up of these parts of cells called axons, which is part of the neural cell body, and that's the bit that transmits signals from bits to bit. And those are made up differently in women compared to men. They're a bit thinner, so they're more likely to be injured. If a woman has a concussion, she's more likely to have another concussion than a man who's had a concussion. And women are more likely to have psychological problems as well from concussion.
Whoa.
Yeah, but it's something we're still working on. So we don't really know what's going on. So our lab, I work... I don't know if I'm allowed to say it here on this campus, but absolutely. I work up at the University of Sydney in the Sydney Translational Imaging Laboratory, headed by Professor Stuart Grieve. And one of the things that we do as an imaging laboratory is a lot of high-tech MRI, where we can see exactly what's happening in the brain in really high-level detail, in the white matter and certain structures of the brain. And we can say, okay... So, for example, for the women, we're scanning them at the start of the season, and then we're scanning them every year. So whether they have a concussion or not, we're scanning them. And if they have a concussion, we're scanning them straight after the concussion. So we can say, okay, this is how you were. So we can say, like with those tests that they do on the side of the field, this is how you were, and this is what we can see now. Are there changes? Are there not? And that kind of thing also could potentially help for like return to play decisions. So if someone has had a concussion, if we can see there's damage, we could say, okay, maybe you need to sit out a little bit longer, or because the symptoms often subside, but there's still a lot of brain changes going on. But it's really difficult to say if you can't see what's going on.
It's just like, it's so fascinating.
Yeah. Like, it is.
Brain, the brain's an amazing organ, like just how it can take it. There's so many bits of the brain that do all these different things, right?
Yeah.
And so if you get hit on this part of the brain, on this part, you know, it's going to affect different things.
Yeah.
I learned this, my dad had a stroke and he had a part of the brain affected where he just forgot how to talk.
Mm.
Just couldn't make words anymore.
Yeah.
He could hear, he could write, he could watch, he could, you know, but he just couldn't figure out how to say letters. And I had a look at the MRI, I didn't know what I'm looking at, but you could just see the white bits, which are like the damage. And the bits that were damaged were just the parts that basically told him how to speak.
Yeah.
So he's got to teach all these other bits of the brain to do that part that brain part of it did. I was like, what? How does this work?
Yeah, the fact that you can relearn like that and you can teach your brain, okay, well, we don't have this bit anymore, but you can make new connections and strengthen existing connections.
Yeah. And do those connections kind of go to different places in the brain? So that bit's dead, right?
Yeah.
But it just retrains and that learning is going to different parts of the brain?
Yeah, so there's a lot of research in exactly how to do that.
Mm.
And there's different ways you can do it as well. So there's something... so you've heard of stem cells, right? So you can get stem cells and you can put them in there, or the brain makes its own stem cells in a process called neurogenesis, which is like neural making new brain things and genesis making.
Cool.
And that's something that we thought just was only a kid's thing, but now we've found recently it happens in adults as well. So you're making these new brain cells your whole life, but the cells don't know exactly where to go to the injured area. So there's a lot of research in giving the right, like, are there chemicals we can give, drugs we can give that show those cells, hey, mate, come over here, this is the damaged area.
Oh, this would be sweet, because when I kill all those brain cells tonight,
yeah,
and I have a drink.
Pop a pill.
Tomorrow I just go, whoop, yeah, if you want, bang, and you go, hey, right as rain.
Take a forget-me-not, yeah.
An arrested development.
Yeah. That's my favourite.
Wow, that is great. That is so, there is... My brain can't actually handle talking about the brain. Like, it's that sort of inception sort of thing. Guys, before we move into sport, any sporting news from the week?
No.
Gabby?
No. I mean, I've barely been able to walk around the block. So.
Are you doing, can I ask you, have you started doing exercise stuff?
Not intense exercise.
Okay, yeah.
Literally walking around the
block. Yeah, no, that's good. Just light exercise is good.
Yeah, because I just haven't felt like it at all.
Don't push yourself for sure.
No. But okay. I will get back in there. It's a bit of an excuse. I'm like, oh, I've had a concussion.
You got to milk it. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Oh, let's do this. Let's do this. Oi, computer.
Sport.
There you go.
You could have just done it yourself.
Why didn't you push it?
I was trying. My hand is like...
No, with your mouth.
I could have, yeah. It is my mouth.
You wouldn't
mouth
have those reverb and stuff.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
True.
And I don't know how I got that deep. That's not me. Anyway, okay. So, soccer. Hey, we played Jamaica. And we won.
Yeah.
4-1, which leaves us second in our pool. Finishing second is pretty good because we get to take on Norway.
Mm.
Now, I mean, Norway are obviously a good team, but I think last time we played them, we beat them. So
that's good.
That's handy.
I really felt for the Jamaican goalkeeper when she just didn't kick it right. And then
Sam Kerr's last. So yeah, so it's
so bad.
But Sam got four goals in the game.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's hard to some of these minnow teams in the World Cup. It's really hard to watch sometimes because they're so excited to be there. And this morning, I think it was Chile who had to win by three goals to get through the second round, and they were 2-0 up, and the girl got a penalty just near the end, and she missed it, hit the post, and she was so crushed. And Chile were just desperately trying to get his last goal in the last second. But the silver lining is that because they didn't make it, Nigeria make it through, which they're a really cool team to watch as well. So, you know, there's one team didn't make it, another team makes it, but it's been a really good tournament so far on SBS Radio Live.
Sam Kerr, as you said, scored all four goals for us. No Australian has ever scored more than two goals in a single World Cup match, so that's great. I've got here, to put it another way, she's one of only 10 players to score four or more goals in a single World Cup match. Now, that company doesn't include players like Pele, Maradona, Ronaldo. Like, they've never scored that amount of goals in a World Cup match.
So she's twice as good as
exactly
all other players.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say.
She's just amazing.
I'm still waiting for the backflip, though. I haven't seen the backflip come out yet.
She can't risk doing a backflip. Like, it's just too risky, Sam. Just do it at the end.
Yeah.
We don't want you slipping over.
Right. When we've won and the game is over and everyone's gone home, then you can do it.
It's so embarrassing. Like, you've seen athletes before when they score and then they try and do a flip and, like, land badly. And you're like, you can imagine the coach going, what the fuck are you doing? You're costing me. This is absurd.
Yeah, we're playing Norway. Sunday morning, 5 a.m. on SBS.
Oh.
And Norway are without the best player in the world, so that's handy.
Oh,
that's
handy. Who won the Ballon d'Or or whatever you say.
Oh, the Ballon d'Or.
And was asked to twerk on stage.
We all tried to do an accent. Oh, yes, the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, so cool.
Why isn't she playing?
She decided not to play in the World Cup at all because she's protesting against women in, especially Norway, not getting paid anywhere near enough money in sport.
You go.
So, good for her and great for us.
Yeah.
Win-win.
Yeah, I know. The NRL. So, this weekend is rep round. We have State of Origin. Well, we have the first State of Origin tonight, the women's State of Origin.
Yep.
Well, they only play
starts
the one
in
game.
Starts in like half an hour.
Yeah. No. Hang on. It starts. What time does it start?
7:30.
Okay, yeah, so...
Gotcha!
Don't make me do the maths live on air.
Where are they playing?
Listen to the show and then put it on. North Sydney Oval?
Yeah.
And is it being broadcasted?
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
The television. You can watch it.
Good.
When you finish listening to us...
It's an option.
Yeah, and then we will have three games tomorrow. We have... Where are they? New Zealand versus Tonga. At 3:40, then Fiji versus Lebanon at 5:40, and Samoa versus Papua New Guinea at, I didn't write the time, so I guess after that game, 7:40.
Yeah, it's pretty great. These three games are always awesome. They're so fun to watch.
Especially that first one, New Zealand versus Tonga is going to be great. Like they played last year, I think. Was it earlier this year? No, last year.
And Tonga won, didn't they?
Tonga.
Was that the one they won?
Yes. I want to say yes.
I think it was like a huge upset and they won it. I can't remember now, maybe.
I feel like you're right, though. Mm. If we both think it's right, it's probably wrong. and Benji's playing for New Zealand, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
Benji Marshall plays for the Tigers.
He's like 100 years old.
Been out of rep football for many years. No one ever thought he's this year he's going to play his 300th game, and he's going to represent New Zealand again, which is like massive.
Yeah.
Because no one ever thought that was going to happen.
What sport are we talking about again?
This is still NRL. and then, of course, the State of Origin game two is on Sunday.
Still weird on a Sunday, but
it is very weird. It's weird that it's being played in Perth. So for New South Wales, Coach Brad Fittler made 7 changes from
half
game
a team
one.
Gone.
It's not. Your mess is as bad as mine.
No,
and 4 players were dropped. Do it.
Do what? What is that?
It's a new one I got in. I also have another one, and I don't know where to use it. It's that guy. Did you see this guy on the weekend get? I think it was during the week. He got crash tackled at a police press conference.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw that. That was crazy.
Why?
He was, being inappropriate. He literally just walked out of a courthouse and was being inappropriate to a poor lady.
No.
And this guy's doing a press conference, like a copper, an ex-copper, I think, now. And the guy runs past him, and he used to play footy, so he just, turns around and tackles him, crash tackles him to the ground.
Oh, my God.
The guy's,
so
screaming
rad.
In pain. It's hilarious. It's so funny. This is what he's... I'm just going to play it. This is what he's like.
Is that real?
It's real. It
that
really
sounds
happened.
Like something like you're really overdoing it. Like you've fallen over and you're like,
exactly.
Do you mean
really
like
dramatic.
A soccer player?
Yes, very good.
That could be a soccer player. Absolutely. okay, so anyway, 4 players have been dropped. Latrell Mitchell, which is the big one, I think surprised everyone. Also, Gabby's uncle, Josh Morris, Angus Crichton, and Cody Walker also gone
Do you
from
watch
the first game.
State of Origin?
Like, I want to say yes, but no.
I know what you mean.
Are
I
you
feel
from
that.
New South Wales? New South
nah,
Wales?
I'm from Victoria.
Oh, see, here we go.
Yeah, that's fair enough then.
Yeah.
I understand.
It's not really a big thing. Rugby's not really a big thing in Victoria.
It's rugby league.
It is league.
Or league, whatever.
Do you have an Aussie Rules team?
Yeah, St Kilda.
All right.
Yeah, Saners.
Saners. Saners. I don't think I have much on the Saners today, sorry.
No. But, what are they doing? Please update us.
I do have a little bit of AFL here. Who's that Collingwood player that got done for... Oh, he self-reported that he was match fixing, betting on games in the AFL.
Oh, he turned himself in?
Yeah.
Why?
He gets 10 matches. I don't know.
He's from Collingwood, so he probably had a long string of offences.
Yeah,
and then if you cop to this.
I'll go in for this one. They won't notice the other ones.
What do you guys think of all the behaviour police that come down to all the games? Have you heard all the... it's pretty...
The security.
Did you see the photo of the... So there's 2 players on the pitch and they're rumbling, having a bit of a...
Yes.
And the security guard on the... pitch gets up and starts walking over, and the ref's like, get out.
They're fighting on the field. It's not your fault.
It's gone too far when the behaviour
How many of you had to drink? You know, like, wrong time.
Come on, mate, you've had too much. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
I'm fine with it, but it probably goes a bit too far sometimes. But there's reasons for it.
I mean, the whole thing is, like, we wanted to make the AFL seem less... You could take your family, and, you know, we wanted it to be more family-friendly, and because there was a lot of rubbish going on in the crowds of AFL. So they got these guys in to look after them, and now everyone's like, no, don't do that. So, I don't know.
Maybe stop fighting, basically. If people stop fighting in the crowd, then they wouldn't need this.
Yeah. In the cricket... Very quickly, we beat both Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. Yeah, whatever.
We're top of the ladder. We're killing it. Warner's like going crazy.
Warner's got a couple of centuries in a row now.
Yeah, 166.
Who watches the cricket?
I've really struggled. I can watch like the first maybe hour.
Well, it goes to 3 a.m., so it's a bit hard to watch this World Cup. But you know, you watch the highlights and the first bit.
That's the only thing I think that is good about sport is the highlights.
Yeah.
Like, you can't watch that much cricket. Who has the time?
Not many people. Okay.
Obviously not us.
Yeah. We're going to have to move straight on to the game, unfortunately. Let's go. Go. Oh, this is really irritating me now. Just work, you stupid thing. What I wouldn't give for someone else to do the game.
I told you I would do
it. But you said that after I'd done the game. So can you please do it next week?
How long does it take? Do you want me to just make up a game now?
Do you want to?
Yeah, this is
awesome. How bad's your game?
No, mine's all right.
Okay.
It's actual questions this week.
Okay. Not just spelling people.
It's not a spelling bee this week. I'm still quite happy with my spelling bee. Thank you very much. Okay. These are just random questions.
Wait.
Sarah, you happy to play?
Yeah, of course.
Context.
Yeah.
There's no context.
It's just a shit game and you just give the answers.
Oh, great. Shit games are my favourite.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's harsh. All right, here we go. Mine out of the gutter. Which sport has the lightest balls?
Ping pong.
Yes.
Oh, that was quick.
Oh, so this is like a... I should jump in if I...
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
we
sorry.
Didn't.
We should have done that as well. Okay, we'll do it again. Mine out of the gutter. Which sport has the lightest
ping
balls?
Ping pong! Yes!
Well done. Okay, which sport has the heaviest balls?
Bowling balls.
10-pin
balls. Were you waiting for that? Like I was...
Do you reckon, is a bowling ball heavier than... Oh, yeah, of course it's heavier than a shot put. Like, you wouldn't be able to shot put a bowling ball.
Hey, it's actually a tie between...
No, actually, can I just say, there are different weights in bowling balls.
There are.
So, yep. Sarah might have a point.
But shot put, it actually says here, a tie between 10-pin bowling and shot put.
Oh, hey!
But I feel like there would be heavier...
You don't really high-five when you tie with someone. That's so lame.
You're doing bowling, though. They love a high-five in bowling. Yeah.
Bit of a bowler, Sarah?
I mean, I've been known to frequent the alleys.
All right. Which sport has the largest balls? I feel like I've actually had this question before.
What's that big ball thing where you get in it and you run around the field?
Yeah.
You bounce around?
It's not that.
I think in gymnastics they use exercise balls for their routines.
Yeah, I don't have that as an answer.
Okay. Rhythmic gymnastics.
Yeah, rhythmic, that's it. Okay, we'll think again.
A lot of concussion from rhythmic gymnastics, I would have thought.
I mean...
And synchronized swimming.
Probably.
No, did you see that girl that was doing... Was it rhythmic? Just gymnastics and like did a triple, critical dribble, triple flip and then broke her legs.
What's the one with
The ribbon.
So there's a lot of like variations of rhythmic gymnastics.
Yeah.
Multifaceted sport.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait.
So, what was the question?
Basketball.
Basketball is the greatest.
Really?
Oh, this is doing my head in. Yes, basketball is the biggest ball.
These questions are better than normal.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hey, what has the smallest balls?
No, we've done that.
We just did this.
Oh, no.
Oh, we did the largest small. Oh. Don't be rude.
Sorry.
That was just a low ball.
Golf balls.
That you missed.
Smaller than golf balls.
Okay. Marbles.
Marbles.
Oh, is that a sport, do you reckon?
No.
It is in primary school in 1999.
Yeah. Ping pong balls.
Yeah, I've got squash and table tennis balls are both 40 mil in diameter.
Oh.
So there you go.
Squash. Far out. What a white man game that is. Dad, if you're listening.
Yeah, I mean, when I was little, I remember my dad playing squash.
Yeah, my dad only ever played squash.
What is the fastest sport?
Running.
Fastest in general?
Ice hockey.
Oh, speed skiing.
No, faster than that. And wow. you're not.
Is it like
doing
a motorsport? That's kind of.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But no, this is. Joel. This has got, what's going on? This has downhill speed skiing. I feel like that's actually pretty quick.
Yeah.
Weren't you a downhill, a semi-professional downhill speed skier?
Yeah, not speed skiing. I didn't do speed skiing. I was going to do speed skiing, and I totally would have killed myself because I'm super clumsy. I don't come like, my parents were like, yes, teenage child, off to go and put
but
some
but
skis.
You were a semi-professional mogul skier.
Yeah, I used to do moguls. Slalom and giant slalom.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Moguls are so...
How do we not know this and did not talk about this?
I know. Sarah, can you come back on and yeah. we're going to discuss... Yeah.
We actually need you back on. There's just so much content.
Yeah, really have is. To.
Yeah, please?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be great because we'll talk more about your sporting career. That'd be awesome.
It's short-lived.
Doesn't matter. We haven't even got one, so...
Yeah.
That's it. That's the end of the show.
Oh. Oh. Sorry. Bye.
We need to fade out a little bit.
Jesus Christ.
All right, that's it.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.